If you have your Bibles, go ahead and be finding Jonah. We'll finish up what we started this morning. Book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah chapter number 1. I'm going to read what the Bible says. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah rose up and flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down unto it, and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Then verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Lo, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. And then say they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea will be calm for you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they couldn't, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. And now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word tonight. You know why Jonah couldn't trust the ocean? He knew there was something fishy about it. You know why the big fish eat Jonah? I thought I'd bring two little jokes in before I start preaching. You know why the big fish eat Jonah? He was a minor prophet. A minor prophet, minor prophet. The most important thing, I'll say it again tonight, the most important thing you can do as a Christian is to find the will of God, to follow the will of God. One of the greatest things that you can do on this earth. And I said this morning, I'll say it again, this story is not so much about a big fish as it is about soul winning. And we'll get into more of that as we move on, as we go verse by verse. And it's not about so much a backsliding preacher as it is a compassionate God. A compassionate God. So I'll just go through the little outline we give this morning. First of all, we noticed that the preacher's orders were to go. God said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh and cry out against it. In other words, Jonah, get up, go to where I tell you to go and preach the word. Preach the word. And remember, I said this, God had a plan for Jonah. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me. God has a purpose for us all. God has a place for you to serve. And the Lord said to Jonah, Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh and preach the word. And we know, we said it this morning, Jonah knew about Nineveh. Nineveh got his attention. He knew how mean that the people, the Ninevites, were. The Bible even says that it was great in their wickedness. It was a wicked city, and I'm sure that Jonah knew that. And like I said this morning, Jonah was comfortable where he was at. He was there at his church where the people loved him, and he loved them, and everything was good. And then God told him to go, and Jonah said no. In chapter 3, in verse 2, tells us what God told told Noah to preach. And this is what he told him in chapter 3, verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter in that city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. So that was the message to preach. And God told Jonah to go, and Jonah said no. And you know the story, he ran from the presence of the Lord. Ha ha ha. You cannot run from the presence of God, can you? God is God. He knows all things. And Jonah went down to Joppa, which is Jaffa today, and said he wanted to get on a boat and go to Tarshish. And you remember I told you there just happened to be a boat going to Tarshish. And I said this, the devil will see to it that if you're out of the will of God, he'll make sure your path is easy. I remember this when God was, he'd already called me into the ministry, and I was working part-time as a youth minister, but I remember God speaking to my heart and telling me to step out in faith. I remember that just like it was yesterday, and He wanted me to step out in faith and go in the ministry full time. I knew if I didn't, I never would go into the ministry full time. And I was working at Rental Uniform then with Wayne, and he was a rag man. He was the rag man. I was the uniform man, and I delivered uniforms. And I remembered this so good. My route just grew every week. I mean, just grew every week, and my paycheck was getting bigger and bigger and bigger every week. And here I was trying to step out on faith, and my paycheck was getting bigger and bigger and bigger every week. And it was like the devil was whispering in one ear, telling me, there's no way you can step out on faith. Look how good you're making it right now. It was the first time in my life that I had a little extra spending money. Look how good things are going right now. My boys were in school, and I was making good money. And that devil would whisper to me and say, you're crazy. You can't step out on faith. Boy, God's not calling you to step out on faith. And then I'd get that whisper in this ear, that still small voice that you hear from God from time to time. And God would say, trust me, trust me, trust me. And I remember I being so confused. And I remember the day that I said, Lord, I'll trust you and I'll step out on faith. And I quit Rental Uniform and making good money. Went to work at Blue Ridge View making $200 a week. And my family said, boy, you're crazy. And everybody, all my friends, boy, you're crazy. But I want to tell you, God blessed it. And I hadn't looked back. But I want to tell you, I said that to say this. Even if you're in the will of God sometime, that devil will whisper in your ear and tell you to do something different. But we've just got to stay in the word of God and stay in his will and listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Jonah went to a place called Joppa, and there he found a ship, and he got on that ship. Jonah was running. Old Jonah gets in that ship, and the Bible says there in verse 4 of chapter 1, but the Lord sent a great wind, and it was a great wind, so to speak. And we talked about the sailor's cry. If you look down at verse 6, the Bible says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, get up, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now, I told you this morning that these sailors were experienced sailors. They've been in storms before, but they'd never been in a supernatural storm like this, a storm caused by God. And these shipmasters said, we prayed to our God, we prayed to our pagan God, and nothing has happened. You get up and pray to your God. And look what the Bible says there in verse 9. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. He got on his knees and began to pray to his God. I thought about it. I'll say it again. You might be in here today and you're way off from God, and you think God doesn't know where you are. I've got news for you. God knows. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. You can't run from God. The Bible says there in verse 10 that these men were exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, why hast thou done this to me? And then I love what the Bible says there in verse 12. It says to He said unto them, take me. Jonah said this now. Jonah knew he was a cause. He was the cause of all this. And he said, take me and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea will be calm for you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is come upon you. He knew. He knew that he was the reason for the storm. And he said, throw me overboard. And the Bible says right there, the men didn't. They tried to row all the way to the land, but they couldn't. And in verse 15, the Bible says, they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Isn't that something? They threw Jonah overboard. How about that? Threw him overboard. Wonder what had to be going through Jonah's mind. There he was, running from God, ended up on a ship, going to Tarshish. A big storm came up, and he knew that he was the cause of it. He told them to throw him overboard. They tried not to. They tried to get him to land, but they couldn't. They were scared, so they finally took Jonah, throwed him overboard. And then we see what happened here in verse 17. The Lord sent a great fish. Look at verse 17. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The fish. Everybody gets wrapped up in the fish when we tell this story about Jonah and the whale. But I want to tell you, the main character of this story is not the fish. The main character of this story is not even Jonah. The main character of this story is the Lord. The Lord's mentioned 9 times in the first chapter. 9 times in the first chapter, and 2 times he's called, O Lord. And 2 times he's called God. It's about the Lord. The Bible says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I got to thinking about this. This is a prepared fish. In the New Testament, the Bible says that it was a prepared fish in the King James Version. And people through the years have said, well, I just don't believe this story. And I told you that joke that goes with that this morning. But I got to thinking about it. Why not? Why do people not believe this story? I remember when I went to Israel, I got on an airplane. And when I first say I flew from Charlotte to New York, in a regular sized plane, and then when I got to New York and I got on that plane that was going to fly us to Israel, I never thought that plane would get off the ground. It was so big, and I flew in the air. Listen to this, for 13 hours. And I kept thinking to myself, how in the world is this big old plane flying in the air for 13 hours? It was the biggest plane I've ever seen in my life. And it had four rows on this side, and then it had a middle with about five rows, and then it had four seats on this side. And they sat me down right in the middle, and I was sitting by two rather large people, and I was cramped up right in the middle, and they must have took something to make them sleep, because for 13 hours I didn't move. I tried to get up one time to go to the bathroom. There's no way. They were stretched back, so I just sat back down. But for 13 hours we were in the air. And I got to thinking about it. We've got submarines today, and people get down in those submarines, and they go under the water, and all of that's man-made. That airplane's made by man. A submarine is made by man. And if men can build planes, and if men can build submarines that preserve people for periods of times, don't you think that the God of this universe can make a fish big enough to swallow a backslidden Baptist preacher? It's a miracle. A miracle. I tell you this morning, some people don't believe this story in the Bible, but you can't believe John 3:16 without believing this. This is not a buffet line. You know, we go to a buffet, we get this, and if we don't like that, we don't get that, and we get this, and we don't like that, we don't get this. When you read the Bible, you got to take it all. You got to take it all. It's all God's word, and it's a miracle, and I have no problem with miracles. You take the miracles out of the Bible, you don't have much of a Bible, do you? Our Bible is about a miracle working God. It was God that stepped out on nothing and created this whole universe. It's about a miracle Savior born to a virgin, lived a sinless life, and died on an old rugged cross, placed in a tomb, and on the third day he arose from the grave victorious. Salvation. Salvation's a miracle. A miracle. We get over our salvation so easy, so quick today. But listen, your salvation is a miracle from God. We were born with a sin nature. I teach it at Good News. We're born with a dark heart, and we're separated from God. And there's no way to get to God. You have to ask God to forgive you of your sin and ask him to come into your life and be Lord of your life. And when you do that, the Bible says that you're born again. It's a miracle. Don't ever, ever get over your salvation. The Bible is about a miracle God. Our Bible's full of miracles, and I don't have any problem with miracles. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you can believe Genesis 1:1, you're home free for the rest of the Bible. The Lord said this to the fish, swallow him. Swallow him. And the fish said, Lord, I don't like people. And God said, swallow him anyway. And the fish said, Lord, especially I don't like backslidden preachers. Swallow him. Gulp. That old fish opened up his big mouth, and this Jonah went in. And there he was for 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days. Boy, I bet Jonah had some time to be thinking then, didn't he? The school of seaweed. You might not get swallowed by a whale in your life, but I'm here to tell you, if you run from God, you're going to find yourself in a heap of problems. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you're in a prison because you've been running from the Lord, you need to stop running and be obedient to Him. There's several lessons that I learned as I studied the first chapter. I can't wait to get into the rest. But some of the things that I learned was, number one, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me, and God's got a plan for you. God just don't have plans for preachers. God's got a plan for every one of His children. God has a plan for your life. And then lesson number two, God, we're going to get into this, but God loves sinners. He plucked Jonah up from the First Baptist Church there where he was a pastor and told him to go to Nineveh and preach to that great and wicked city. God loved those people. And Jonah was supposed to go and preach to them. And the last thing I learned was you can't run from God. You can't run from God. I want to say this and then I'm going to close tonight. Several things I learned just in chapter 1. Just in chapter 1. I can't wait to dig into chapter 2 and 3 and 4. But you know what happened to Jonah? Jonah took his eyes off to go. God told him to go. And Jonah took his eyes off to go. He didn't want to go where God told him to do. And I couldn't help but think about us. I couldn't help but think about me. I couldn't help but think about our church. We should never take our eyes off the go. The Great Commission. We ought to do all that we can do for souls to be saved. Never take your eyes off the go. He told Jonah, rise and go to Nineveh. You know what else Jonah did? Not only did Jonah take his eyes off the go, but Jonah took his eyes off the gospel. We're going to get into this later on as we move into chapter 3 and chapter 4. But you know what? Jonah took his eyes off the gospel. You know what Jonah did? Jonah went and preached just what God told him to preach. In 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. But you know what happened after he preached that? He got mad because God saved him. We're going to get into it. He got mad. He wasn't preaching the gospel. He didn't preach the whole gospel. The gospel, listen, God is a God of love. And you're looking at a man that loves to preach on God's love. I did it the whole month of February. And I love preaching on the love of God. But there's more to the gospel than just love. God's also a judge. And He'll judge wickedness. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And Jonah was over there and all he was preaching about was God's going to destroy you. God's going to destroy you. And I guess he never preached about God's love because when God saved him, he got mad at God. He got his eyes off of the gospel. I noticed something else as I looked at this. Not only did he get his eyes off of the goal, and not only did he get his eyes off of the gospel, but he got his eyes off of the goal. The goal. And you know, as we get into it, he gets mad at God, and he says, God, I wish you'd just take my life. Just let me die here. And he took his eye off of the goal. And you know what everybody's goal is? You know what my goal is? And you know what your goal ought to be? Is one day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He took his eyes off of the goal. He said, God, you ought to let me die here. We should never take our eyes off the goal. And that is to be all that we can be for the glory of God. And then I couldn't help but see this. He took his eyes off of the giver. You know who we should never take our eyes off of as Christians? God. Because He's the giver of life. It was God that gave us life. It's God that gives us salvation. It's God that blesses us each and every day. You said, preacher, I work. Well, God gives you the help. I've got a roof over my head and food on my table and shoes on my feet, and it's all because of God. He's the giver. And Jonah took his eyes off the giver. He was a preacher. I want to tell you, he had the privilege to preach to the Ninevites, but he chose to go to Tarshish, and he ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. As a church, let's do this. Let's keep our eyes on the go. Do all that we can do to bring people in. Let's keep our eyes on the gospel, the love of God, that God's a holy God and that He'll judge sin. And let's get our eyes on the goal that one day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll say, "Well done, thy great servant." And let's keep our eyes on the one that gives us life. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your word and how it speaks to our life today. Lord, we realize as we study about Jonah that Jonah was just a regular person, just like us. And Lord, you used him, and we can learn so much from his life. And Lord, I pray that we would apply it to our life, that we would be better Christians and live for you in a way that would be pleasing to you each and every day. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you so much for loving us. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.